I do appreciate you coming out tonight. We'll open up here to Genesis 29. I just want to trust the Lord to do what we need. Yes. You know, I don't get too nervous teaching or anything. I've been doing it. I just don't get it. But tonight, I'm nervous. Amen. I was sitting over. I thought I'd pass out. I said, sure, I've got to get this going, or I'm going to go out that back door and run, go home, amen. But do pray for me. Brother Silas wasn't kidding when he said pray for me. I do need it. You kind of step out on faith to go down a route you just don't know. You just don't know. You know what I mean? As I prayed about this, I got in last night, and the preacher told me yesterday, and I had school last night, so I didn't get in until about 9:30 last night, and then I had to get up at 5:30 this morning, and I haven't been home since then. So I had to really, think about what I was going to do, and I had talked the Lord out of this lesson. I was certain that He had something else. You know how you do. And then I got home last night, and I went right back here. So we'll just have to do what the Lord wants and just trust Him. Man, Genesis chapter 29. Now, Brother Silas had done talked about Jacob, and he'll be part of our subject tonight. And I won't be before you very long. I just have a few thoughts wrote down. And Jacob, we'll probably begin. I'd like to say how much I appreciate everybody's testimony tonight, especially about God's provisions. Yeah. You know, we've been going through a lot of trials and testings and facing tests this week, and you know how all the medical issues and bills and things come up, and I appreciate y'all boosting my faith. Amen. I appreciate that. But and as we're looking here at Genesis, this portion, Jacob had been a trickster. Yeah. The name Jacob means supplanter, trickster. He had worked everything out he had ever wanted. Amen. He could work it out. He's a lot like us, amen, And Jacob had wanted that blessing, so he tricked to get it. That caused Esau to hate him. He lost his father. He never had his father's love. His father loved Esau. Yeah. That was his pick. Right. And Jacob, his life had been one of turmoil. He never had a father that he was close to because he loved Esau. He loved his mother, but he left over the fact that he had tricked Esau.
Right.
Run away to his mother's people. Then he had lost that void in his life. Jacob had gotten saved, but I believe he had there at the vision of the ladder. He had gotten born again, if you will, and saved. He had that, but he was still living that Jacob life. Until the wrestling match there with the Lord, he didn't become Israel, the prince with God, at that point of surrender. He was just living up his own life. And one thing that led to this study, and I'm going to get where we're going, but one thing that's led to it was we taught on the different sayings of Christ on the cross, and we talked about sin. And what is sin? And sin is idolatry. In our lives, it's either Jesus or idolatry. It's one or the other.
That's right.
We condemn the nation of Israel for their idols, don't we? We look back in the Old Testament. We condemn them. But we have ours. And that my study has led me to continue to work on that. And it led me here to Genesis 29, to this story of Jacob and Leah and what he went through. And it kind of goes back to the idols that we make within the relationships of our lives. We'll talk about this and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And I'd like to especially ask the young people to pay attention tonight, because these are things that are very relevant to our culture and nation and what we're doing as a nation. Homes are torn completely apart, and we'll see some things as to why as we study here tonight. Let's begin reading here at about verse 15. Jacob has ran away to his mother's people, and he's found Laban here, and he'll become his father-in-law. We'll see here. And as he has met with him, as he's met this family, he sees Laban's youngest daughter, Rachel, and he falls instantly in love with her. And we'll talk about what that is and what happens. Let's begin to look here. He meets up with Laban. Here, verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. You notice up there in verse 19, he didn't say yes. Jacob heard what he wanted to hear, didn't he?
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me thou my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, made a feast. It came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, here's the phrase that jumped out, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? We'll stop right there. We'll read on down, because it'll become very important that we read the rest of the chapter before we're done. But in this chapter, it is, in our lives, anything that gives us fulfillment apart from God is sin. And as we studied idolatry, remember we studied what is an idol when we went through when Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We studied about sin. That was the cry of sin. Jesus cried out the sinner's cry. And it came between him and God. And therefore he saw that separation, that break. So anything that takes that place and breaks that fellowship with God is sin. And basically what we do as we turn our culture away from God, we turn it more and more to man. Man becomes our idol. And as we see here that within this picture, we're going to see both Jacob and Leah have made idols out of their love relationship. Both Jacob has and Leah did. And I'm glad God gave us this example. And that's what we've done a lot in our culture and in our homes. We're going to talk about that and what goes wrong. And as we've done that, what happens is nobody can give you that fulfillment but God. Nobody can. And when you put that burden upon a person, we'll see what all it becomes. But that's why I think a lot of times our homes are so broken apart. I hate to say this as I've studied and learned, but even as God's people, we have very worldly attitudes.
That's right. You're right.
We do. We're very impacted by what the world pictures we're supposed to be.
Yeah, you're right.
Even as God's people. And these are things that need to change. But let's begin to look here at what went on. I'd like to begin with Jacob. As I studied it, We take something in our lives. I heard a guy not long ago say this statement, and I won't be before you long. I heard a guy say, he said, people of faith, he said, they're weak. They need a crutch. And it dawned on me immediately when he said that. I thought, wait, we're all unredeemed sinners. We all need a crutch. Ours is just God. It's in the Lord Jesus. Amen. What a crutch. Amen. At least it's not in humanism or psychology or whatever you want it to be. Everybody's got an identification. Everybody's got a thing that gives us that fulfillment. Basically, something redeems all of us. I don't care who you are, saved or not. Something redeems you. And that redemption picks you up and gives you meaning. It gives you purpose and fulfillment. Lord Jesus is the only one that can really carry that. And we see in Jacob's life, Jacob had been through a situation where he was abandoned by his father, if you will. His father loved Esau more than him. He had to trick him to get a blessing out of him. You know, things were bad there. He lost the love of his mother by going away, you know. And he set his eyes upon Rachel. And he says, if I can have her, I'm fulfilled. Basically, I'm redeemed. My life has just hit the bottom. But if I can have her, you see what I'm talking about? And Jacob said to his father-in-law, to be, Laban, he said, I'll serve 7 years for her. That's four times, according to Scripture, longer than he was supposed to serve. Now, what I think we can do here, and as men, our problems can become when we get, as this was my word, my terminology, I called it the Prince Charming Syndrome. I can pull her out and help her. So he began to work to build up riches. And I'll be her redeemer. I'll be her savior. And he began to try to work for her. He wanted his works to justify his independence and to reach out and get Rachel. That's what he wanted. He could justify himself if he could have her. She was all he could dream of. So let's begin to look at that. Many times you can tell that within that romance has become an idol. When we become to feel unfulfilled or meaningless without it. And it's true. I mean, as I studied it, I thought, my goodness, this is real. This is real. Without a love relationship, people feel unnoticed, powerless, non-existent. You know, if I'm not popular with the others, I'm just not. If I could just get there, that's fulfilling. That's what we're teaching in our generation. Look to people. You can't look to people for affirmation and acceptance. You can't do it. That's what we'll talk about tonight. That's what he wanted. He could be accepted if he could have the trophy of her. That was his reward. Her. Is that not what we teach today? What does every young man want today? If I can get the big job, get the big house, I can have that anybody I want.
That's right.
That's right. And you can't put that on a person because you know what? I'll tell you what will happen to you. You'll happen exactly what happened in verse 25. He worked hard and got that trophy, didn't he? What happened to him in verse 25? And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. It's not what you expect. He woke up with somebody else.
That's right.
And that is exactly what will happen to you. You'll wake up and think, who's that? Huh? Amen. You can't put it on people.
That's good.
They can't carry that. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because Jacob had a lot wrong in his life. I mean, he did. Jacob had a lot of problems, didn't he? Rachel wasn't the answer. Man, that's what we do. Rachel couldn't carry that burden. He didn't get that peace till he met the Lord there and had that wrestling match. And he said, I'll not turn loose till you bless me. He realized there, that's what I've been needing.
Amen.
I've been needing God to bless me. Not her. Not the woman that my independence could bring. Not the riches, not working, not my pride. It just wouldn't help him. And we'll talk more about that. And there's a lot about Jacob's life that that he needed affirmation. He needed redemption. He needed somebody to justify him. He thought Rachel could do that for him. She was beautiful. She was beyond anything that he could dream of. Well, if I could work and obtain that, that would be the affirmation. That's my acceptance that I need. If I can just do that. And he put his works and his effort and his heroism into earning that love of her. But as we do it, there's something that I wanted to say here about that. When you do this, it causes you problems. Okay? To live your life like that and to put all your focus on other people and your affirmation in other people, it causes you problems. I wrote down a bunch. And there's so much we could say about that, and there's more I want to get to, but we'll get there. But, I mean, it caused him to serve. That's what idols do to you. You serve them.
Right.
You sacrifice to them. You suffer for them.
Right.
You sacrifice for that idol. Your idol might be control or power. So what do? You sacrifice others to keep it. You don't care what person gets in your way. The end justifies the means. So I have to keep my control. I have to keep my power. So you'll step on people. Peace might be your idol. So you sacrifice the truth to keep harmony. Idols serve and they bind you. And that's what he did. He was bound for 7 years. But all that work and what happened, he didn't have what he thought he was shooting for, did he? Then he had to serve more.
Right.
Many people call that addiction.
Yeah.
It just binds you. You can't even get away from it. You're just so held by it. That's why the Lord is the only person that can truly meet our needs and be our affirmation and be our acceptance and justification in life. Like one man said, you want to know what your idol is? What can't you live without? That's it. Because that's what's giving you meaning. Amen. So we can see here that he had to serve. Number two, he was deceived. He was deceived. When you allow yourself to be put in that situation and make an idol out of somebody, you open yourself. You become vulnerable.
Right.
He heard what he wanted to hear. He saw what he wanted to see. He became vulnerable for a trick. Is that not true?
Right. Amen.
I mean, when you open yourself up to a situation like that, the devil can just run rampant with your life. That's when he can trick you and get you out of the will of God.
Yeah.
Because you've opened yourself up. I have to have that. I can't live without that. And then the Lord can't do anything for you. He can't convince you differently. And the devil can underhand and slip that trick in. So he became deceived. He became depressed. I mean, look at what he did. He goes to him in verse 25 and says, "What is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? I believe he was depressed over this. He goes to his father-in-law and says, "All my work, and what have I got? What shows for all that I've done?" It's just not there for him, is it? Depressed, trapped, distaste, disillusionment, disappointment. It's true, isn't it? I mean, I even thought about here how disgusting he had become because he had put so much focus on this other person. His life had been controlled by lust. I mean, it had. He goes to his father-in-law and demands his bride. I mean, it's very, very degrading. He was very driven by that, and that's where we're at in our society. And I mean, it's where we're at. Something we need to know. I wrote down some questions and thoughts. You cannot place your spiritual and moral needs on one individual. You can't do that. Only God can carry that. A human being can't. And we'll see that in a second. We'll see that. That's what happens in our relationships. That's why they break down. You're making somebody carry something they can't carry. They cannot be that for you. Because they're going to let you down. I mean, they're human. They can't do that. Only God can do that. One man said, whatever our idols or whatever justifies us and redeems us from a worthless life. I mean, have we not been there? Surely. It is possible to elevate love. I think that becomes true because we're made in the image of God. I had to sit down last night and think about why we would even do this. It's because we're made in the image of God. We're made to love and to fellowship, to be together. But look at the unhappiness that's come into Jacob's life now. Okay? One man said, what makes us feel good about ourselves? Is that not true? I mean, I'll say this. Many times we think, you know, even as teenagers, the opposite sex is not very, I'm not popular with them. So my confidence is destroyed. That's it. That's the telltale sign. I don't know what else to say, amen. God is the only one who can give you your confidence. Anything else is an idol, and it'll bind you. You'll sacrifice for it. You'll serve it. You cannot live your life looking for that meaning. He wanted an independence that he could afford. He wanted the right to choose anybody he wanted. You've heard the old saying about love, worship the ground they walk on. That's what Jacob did to Rachel. He wanted that so bad. I wrote down some thoughts here. Do we look to the other sex for approval, confidence, meaning, to feel good about ourselves? If you know, that's where we begin to pull that. But let's begin to look at Leah here for just a few minutes. Let's begin to look at Leah and what her life was all about. She did the same thing. Okay? She looked for the same affirmation. Now, we done read some things about her. Okay? She had some empty voids in her life, too, that led her to turn to the wrong means. And we're going to show you. I'm going to show you. She had the wrong means in her life to try to find fulfillment. Jacob did it. His life, we've already read how distraught his life had become. You know, he wanted that independence. He wanted to justify his own meaning through his works. But we'll see in Leah the same thing. She was looking for affirmation too. Her father, we've already read, Jacob didn't love her, did he? The Bible says right here, verse 17, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. To marry, the first daughter was supposed to marry. That's even what Laban appeals to. What, did you not know the first daughter, the oldest daughter, is to marry first? He knew that Rachel was a worthwhile bride, but he had to remove her first. So he even deceived to move her out of the way. Why'd make you feel good about yourself, wouldn't it? You see what I'm saying? He tricked to do that. Well, then, let's begin to read. We stopped here at about verse 25. Look at verse 26. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. You know, he says, okay, we'll give you Rachel, but you're going to work for her too. I want that payment for her too. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. Now here we go again. Leah again. Is you know, here she's got more troubles ahead. He loves Rachel more. And served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Rachel was hated, isn't that a sorry, pitiful word The Lord saw that she was hated. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, and Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben. For she said, surely, well, let's see. Yeah, and Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Do you see the statement she makes? She's looking for him to affirm her. She says, I need him to love me.
Amen.
Jacob couldn't carry that weight to be her affirmation. A human cannot do that. Who is it that we know that can truly love us and fulfill us? It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, that's the only one who can truly bear that weight. She's looking unto the wrong source. Okay? She's saying, now therefore my husband will love me. Today, many times people feel it takes a material situation to know someone loves them. They're looking for affirmation. I need it. I need it. I need it. Look here what she says. She conceived again. Do you see how she's trying to get him? Do you see what she's doing? And she conceived again and bare a son and said, behold, the Lord hath heard that I was hated, and he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. She's going somewhere. See, she's starting to hint towards it with these statements that she's making. She said in the first, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. That's the first statement she makes. Then she said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. Look at verse 34. And she conceived again. She's saying, surely these sons that I'm giving to Jacob, he's going to love me. And he didn't. We'll see that. We'll see that. She conceived again by her son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Look at the next verse. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, I like what she says, now will I praise the Lord. She finally got her eyes off Jacob. Amen. That's exactly what she did. She finally just said, I've quit striving for his approval, and I will turn unto the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, which means praise, and left barren. She finally got it. She finally said, oh, it's the Lord that gives me my affirmation, not Jacob. And who was the fourth son? Judah. Who come from Judah's loins? The Lord Jesus. You know what I like about that story? I read that last night. I thought, you know who the Lord Jesus came from? The unwanted. He didn't come through Rachel. He came through Leah. Isn't that something? Amen. Ain't that grace? Amen. She found her affirmation in the Lord. And that's the reward. Isn't that good? It's true, isn't it? She was striving. She said, now I want him to love me. Now I want him to be joined to me. Do you see in both of them's lives how they needed that fulfillment? How they needed those voids fulfilled? But there was only one person that can do that for us. That's why our homes are such wrecks. We're looking to everybody else but him to meet our needs. And we're striving. The men are trying to strive to gain, to build power, independence. And see, we get it all mixed up. We get it all mixed up. This is as real to me now as it's ever been. I'm glad we studied that in Sunday school. It really helped me. We could study on it a long time. But And I'll tell you what we do wrong. Okay, you saw in Leah that she was looking for that romantic situation to give her affirmation, right? I mean, hear me out. Listen to me. This is real. So what we do today is that's kind of the way it is for the ladies in our relationships. They look for that. The world teaches that. So they see now, okay, that don't fulfill. So they switch it to the man's. They're teaching now, take on the man's ideas. Well, that's an idol too. You see what I'm saying? You be independent. You be strong. Be powerful. Be like Jacob. That one don't work either. You see what I'm saying? That one is just as bad. It's just as unfulfilling. We're saying, go from one idol, get a different one. And that's all we're doing. It's true, isn't it? Amen. I mean, it's true. That's what we're doing today. I see it every day. I mean, it's so real. It's helped me to understand this. And it can help our lives. It's real. It's where we're at. The threat of the devil is to take a good thing and make it the only thing. You see what I mean? There's nothing wrong with a home. There's nothing wrong with a marriage. There's nothing wrong with loving your wife or desiring a husband. But it can't be the only thing. You know what I mean by the only thing? That's the only thing. It can't be that. We need to follow in Rachel's, Leah was trying to follow Rachel's footsteps, and it was causing her to be so down, so disappointed. She wanted commitment to make her feel right. But Leah got help by calling on the name of the Lord. Verse 32. It's really interesting because you have to remember Leah and them were apart from the covenant. Abraham and his people knew that. Jacob had traveled there. And she says in verse 32, surely the Lord, that word Lord is Yahweh. It's the God. It's not Elohim, which is God in general. It's the God of promise. It's the personal God. She had a personal God now. That's the God of covenant. She had made God personal to her. Man, she was starting to get help. That's very important, that we see life that way. But she learned to praise the Lord. But as I studied through this, I wrote down some thoughts that when love gives meaning in your life, or that human relationship is what you look for that affirmation. I wrote down four thoughts. When you do this, you get like Jacob. You'll blame things that disappoint you. That's right. You'll blame things. Jacob went to Laban. Laban's my problem. I've worked. I've served. The beautiful wife. I found her. I worked. I did four times what I was supposed to do. He tricked me. It's his fault. It's Laban's fault. Sorry, Laban. He's a bad dude. He did me wrong. That's where we get. It will disappoint you. Number two, it'll depress you. You'll blame yourself. Because you put your faith in people, not in God. You'll get depressed. You'll be disappointed. You'll be depressed. And then, thirdly, you'll be distrusting. You'll blame the world. You'll blame other people. You'll blame the opposite sex. You can't trust them because they let you down. Yeah. Well, you can't put your faith in that. Right. Only God can do that. Or you could do like the example of Leah and turn your focus where it's supposed to be. Get the help you need. Only God can do that for us. That's what happens today. It's become so real to me. That's why I think we have so many problems in our society today with homosexuality. It's the fruit of turning away from God and allowing people to become our idols. They've looked to love relationships and it hasn't worked. They cannot get the fulfillment they needed because people can't do it. So they blame everybody and turn.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard it with my ears. Not second person, first person. I heard a woman say, "You can't trust nobody." And she was turning the other way. I can tell you where her problem started. She's probably got some Leah in her background. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. You know, blame becomes the issue. So, but as I wanted to study that tonight, it wasn't exactly what you'd bring, but I felt like it was exactly what I was supposed to do.
Amen.
Man, I can't question that. You know what I mean? I'm sure I will, but I'm not supposed to. Amen. You know how you do. Come on, you're human too. But our lives, now hear me out now, and I'll be honest, because I know me. Our lives are full of idols. All of us. Everybody's sitting here. We've got our crutches. We've got them. I know we do. And getting rid of them is the best thing we can do.
You're right. Amen.
It'll help you. It'll help your life because you're bound to them. You'll serve them. You'll sacrifice to them. You'll suffer for them. And that's the scary part. Our lives would be free if we would get rid of them. So I hope that, you know, somehow we think on these things and meditate on it. Think on it. Think in your own life. What is it that justifies me? Without it, I'm nothing. What is it that without it, you're nothing? That's the question. Ask yourself that. Think on it tomorrow. The next day, think on it. And try to put an answer to that. It should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But let's be then dismissed.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.